Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Mazurowski, it's Joe Beamer here on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a nice day out there today. Joe, a lot to get to today. How are you doing?
Doing good. I just want to, a PSA out there. Take it all in. Take today, and if you have sick time, maybe you tell the boss. That was a real cough, by the way. I ate something right before going on the air. You should never do that. But call the boss, say, I'm not feeling too good. Can I leave work early? Because this is a day, as Aaron Mitzkowski said, this is the nicest day left in 2024.
Okay, but real question. It's great weather. It's nice. I'll probably do something outside.
Yes.
But are you going to waste a sick day or something like that on nice weather?
If I still have it this point in the year, yeah. I'm not getting that sick. I've already been sick.
What are you going to do with the day?
Spend it outside, Brian.
Doing what?
Whatever I want
to do. Just going to sit around outside because it's 70 degrees?
Yes.
You're waste a whole sick day on that?
Yeah, well, not us.
Not you.
Yeah.
Because you've already wasted all your...
I'm here, and you know what? At noon, I can be outside for the rest of the day. I'm talking about people who work real 9-to-5 jobs. No, but
say you work 9-to-5.
Yeah.
If
I was in retail, I would have taken today off. Yes.
You would have ran out. But no, you have to make a decision because you take off the days to go to these games. You have to make a decision now.
I don't use sick days, though.
You only have enough PTO time, combined PTO time. You can take off for the beautiful weather on this Tuesday.
Yeah.
Or to do that, you're going to have to miss out on driving to Virginia for a football game.
Well, they only played one Thursday game. Everything else is during the weekend.
Joe, the question is...
I'm telling you the reality. No, you're right. Obviously, if I didn't have any... I'm talking about sick days. If I didn't have anything left... And I worked a 9-to-5. No, but it is a beautiful day, and I think it should be spent outside because in a few months we're going to be complaining about...
Do people still have sick days?
I think so.
I feel like that's a... I think we're like the last ones.
What do they have instead? Just more personal time?
Dude, it's combined. Almost to a person, every single person I know, your time off is your time off. You have combined... sick, whatever you want to call it. There's no different, this is your time off.
I get it.
Use it how you use it, and it'll roll over for just about everybody.
Even better.
That's almost everybody I know. Is sick time, sick days, are those a thing of the past?
Probably. I'm just saying, if you have the time, take in today. That's all I'm saying. It's a beautiful day.
You would.
I
really would love to, that...
I used to work a 9-to-5. And
no, I know. I'm just saying, I would love a web poll to see how many people would say, the weather's nice. That is reason for taking off.
I would think if you, you have yard work and stuff you want to wrap up and get done before... I'm sure there
what the weekend's for.
Yeah. But the weather's not going to be as good as it is right now.
I understand, but, it's still... it's not going to be a torrential downpour or anything like that?
Hey.
I'm just saying, I would love to see a poll number. People in Western New York, you have a beautiful day like today in late October. It's a Tuesday.
Yes.
How many people are going to spend sick time taking off on a Tuesday because it's nice outside?
I'm sure nobody is. I'm just saying it's a beautiful day. We should enjoy it. That was the point of the comment.
What do you think the percentage is?
I'd say there's 5% of people.
I was going to say 2.
All right.
Maybe 1.
I think it's higher than that. There are people who just abuse their sick days.
I don't think you can. 803-0930.
Actually, you know what? I think it's probably a higher number, and not sick days. The amount of people who have the option to work from home, I guarantee, took the option to work from home today.
Oh, yeah.
So there
but
you
go. But that's totally different.
Same thing. Same.
No, it's not.
You chose
one. You're taking a day. You're not working at all.
Right, the other one.
And you're using a part of a set amount of time. You're using 1/10 of whatever time you have off on today just because it's nice outside. Because let's face it, it's a Tuesday. There's nothing going on.
Or maybe you're like me and you work holidays, so then you can have that extra time. It's a beautiful day. I'm not coming in today.
Sure, but that would still fall under the category of, like, that's a day that you have.
And the other one's like you get to take your computer out to the patio, work outside.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm sure a ton of people who have the ability to work from home are doing that. Yeah. But you're still working.
That's true.
You don't have to, you don't give up anything.
No.
By doing that.
But you get to enjoy the day.
I'm talking about the people who are giving something up just to enjoy the nice weather today.
It's a beautiful day.
I'm sure there's a couple. I don't think there's that many people who, like, weather alone would dictate when you take that time off.
And the tough part about it is a lot of summer fun places are closed for the season. But there's a lot of golfers out there, and I guarantee there are people who golf.
That would be...
Who took off today.
That, I think, if there are people who took off today...
It's our golfers.
That's who it is.
Yeah.
Can you abuse sick time?
Oh, yeah, when I'll go back to when I worked retail, so we're talking part-time people. I mean, there was a sick call-in every day. Every day, like the last year I was there, every day at least one person was sick on the day shift. We're not talking about the person that was in school and then came in at night. I'm talking about the day shift. We're like, yeah, it's part-time, but that was your main gig.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have people calling sick all the time.
I mean, it goes back to what we were saying just a couple minutes ago. Like, I feel like that delineation isn't made by most companies anymore.
Yeah, maybe that's
like,
why.
Like, I think a lot of places have sick vacation, like it's rolled into this new PTO.
Well, it works,
like,
in their favor. Because if you've used it, well, you don't have to come in, but we're not paying you. Like, you don't get paid for today. You've used all your time. That's why they do it. It works in their favor.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. Or it could work in your favor. If you have a bunch of sick days you never use, I'll raise my hand here.
Yeah, congratulations.
I mean, I used them a couple times for after my kids were born, but in terms of like sick time, hopefully I'll never have to use the amount of time that I've banked up for sick time. Everyone else who gets that rolled over, well, it's just like extra vacation days. You can take them off if you need to. I mean, then if you break a leg in December and you used all your time, you're, you know, that's some bad planning.
Yeah.
But you have to do that. Now, everybody's different. We'll go to the phones. 803-0930. Jim in Orchard Park. Jim, you're on WBEN. What are you thinking, Jim?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
PTO does not necessarily roll over into the new year unless it's either that's what the company wants to do or it's regulated by a union contract. It used to be that vacation time was accrued based upon the number of hours that you worked. That was typically, we've seen a lot of that in nurses' contracts. You earned X amount of hours per hours worked. But there is no automatic rollover of unused PTO. I've seen companies that do allow to roll it over. I've seen companies that say use it or lose it.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen companies that buy some of your PTO time, unused PTO time back.
Sure.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, it depends on who you work for. Yeah. If they say you can't use whatever or it doesn't roll over, then it doesn't roll over.
We don't roll over.
What I think, Jim, is, and you can tell me from people you talk to, I feel like a lot more in the last decade or so, I don't really hear people talking about how many sick days they have or how much vacation time. A lot more people have, you know, this combined PTO instead of, you know, one versus the other.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
I think it's kind of going that way. And Jim, thanks for the call. You bring up a good point that, you know, you can get paid for it back. So there's another, you know, maybe you would take, maybe you're a golfer, you would take today off, or it's like, or do I want, you know, whatever that, you know, $80 or, you know, whatever it is, $50, whatever it is at the end of the year.
You can buy me a pass for next year.
Yeah, yeah, I can buy. I'll take an extra golf day on, you know, my sick day from this year, from last year. Once you start to try and do the math, it gets a little confusing.
If we paid for my PTOs, my time off, let me tell you, I would be driving midnight to Virginia just so I didn't have to take days off. And then so I get the money back.
803-0930. You can send us a text on our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board or give us a call this morning. Got a few good texts coming in. Someone else says, state employee here have sick days above PTO that can be accumulated. That's pretty nice. Somebody else, we go, I'd want to take off, but I'd feel guilty because the boss would know I was not sick for one day on a beautiful weather day. More on that in just a second. Somebody else saying, my company always gave us combined PTO, but when COVID hit, the state mandated separating it into sick days, but we're allowed to use them for anything. And now nobody knows what's going on. I mean, like, that's kind of the thing. It goes back to the question I had, can you abuse sick time? And I'm thinking specifically now, like, now that it's, like, so many places have it rolled over or combined into this PTO. Like, there's not a sick days, vacation days, you know, personal, holiday, right? Like, there's a billion different. I feel like we here have 15 different categories of days that you could maybe take off. We have a volunteer day. I think you get like 4 hours a year.
Yeah, so a volunteer half day.
An extra long volunteer lunch.
Yeah.
It's like what it, but like it's all in different categories. But with more people having just, you know, PTO, it's one category. I feel like that idea of abusing sick days has kind of,
yeah,
like they're your days. Do you feel like you can abuse a sick day?
So I've been here. I've been a full-time employee here since 2017. I've taken 3 sick days, not counting when I had COVID, because I would have come into work. I didn't feel sick at all. But yeah, I think you definitely can. I mean, you have people who have the mindset. I get those days. They don't roll over. Say your employee doesn't roll them over. I'm going to take them regardless. I think you do have, and that's why I kind of like.
But I don't see. Here's the thing.
I like how they roll them into one.
Here's where my actions will differ from my words. I don't think there's anything wrong with that mindset. You get those days, and if they don't roll over, use them. Like that's part of your pay.
But unless you're like really sick.
Why?
Like I'll think of me personally. Like if I'm not really sick, now Jimmy at 2 a.m. has to. Oh, I have to go into work
right,
at 5.
So here's where I say I contradict myself. Because I say that. Now, in practice, I don't use them.
Yeah.
You know, like, in practice,
with
I do.
With our schedule, I think it's really difficult.
It kind of is. Like, you feel like you're messing something up for somebody else.
Yep.
So, like, in practice, I kind of do what you're saying. But in theory, like, in principle, I don't think it exists anymore where you have people. I mean, unless you are compensated very well in other areas. I think your days off are your days off, and that's part of your whole package. That's part of your pay structure. Days off, sick days, everything like that. And if you don't use them, you lose them. Well, you might as well use them. Right? Like I don't think that there's a guilty feeling that goes with that, that there might have been a generation ago.
I was going to say, I always, even if I was like 2 weeks ago, I was the sickest I've been in a long time. And I still felt guilty not being at work. Like, I do have that guilt associated. Like, I'm supposed to be there, and I'm here watching Columbo. Like, you know. Even though, yeah, I was sick, and I don't want to get other people sick. But it was, I do still feel guilty when it's not a planned day off.
Like calling off the day of.
Yeah. Like, I called 7 o'clock the night before. I asked Jimmy, hey, could you fill in for me? And I still felt guilty.
Yeah. If it's on the calendar.
Oh,
I'm not thinking about it at all.
No.
If you have to call in day of, or like the night before, I've done this a few times. I remember doing it. You know, it's funny that we were talking about this because I remember or I saw this story today. Where was it? Something about people who call off. Oh, here we go. 25% of Gen Z has called in. Now wait, what's Gen Z again?
That's the one under us.
Oh, give me a break, these people. Sorry. 25% off of, or 25% off. 25% of Gen Z has called in sick to work with back pain.
Oh my gosh.
The young people. Now here's, I'm a millennial. Is that true?
You've got back pain. Yeah, you're millennial.
I've pulled my back and called off of work a day the morning of. Because I literally could not walk from my bed to the bathroom that morning. And I had to pick up my phone then and say, there's no way I'm making it into work.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot do it. And yeah, you feel a little guilty. And then I came in, you know, creaking the next day, basically crawling into work. But what's Gen Z doing?
Yeah.
Calling in with back pain.
So Gen Z is 26 and under. I don't want to hear about your back pain.
Come on.
Millennials are 81 to 96. I always question this. And then Gen Z are 96 to 2010.
They're doing it more than baby boomers.
Oh, my gosh.
Some say they're the first generation, mostly digital jobs, sitting at a desk hunched over a computer, isn't doing their back any favor. So everyone's a weakling if you're Gen Z, is what you're trying to say. You know, come on. Hit the rack and strengthen up that back a little bit, and then you can be like me and take your back pain day when you pull it because you're an idiot. like that's how a real man does it. I think there should be a rule. If you're under 30, you can't take off for back pain.
No, I like that.
Come up with a different excuse.
Unless,
pretend you're puking or something.
Unless you know you have a rare condition and a doctor's note. But yeah, if you're under 30, I mean, I'm 36, and you know, knock on wood, I don't have any back pain. I mean, I know about Brian's back pain. My wife has some back pain. I'm very fortunate, and I hate to see those I love struggling at such a young age with back pain.
It's rough.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like I said, if you can't walk to the bathroom, how am I supposed to walk into work?
Yeah, that's a rough
one. Not going to work. 8030930 on the text board this morning. I like this. When I had sick time, I was a user, not an abuser. I like that. I didn't abuse it. I used it.
No, that's what
those days
for.
Are given to you for your mental health as part of your pay package. I like, you know?
Yeah.
There you go. Your mental. And they encourage you. Don't, I mean, how many emails do we get from corporate America about take mind of your mental health?
Well,
a lot.
Do you know it's not good when you walk in here and it's 30 degrees in the morning? Can I take a day off for that? I need to avoid the cold.
And a couple people were chiming in about FMLA and that being what people abuse. I could see that, but not in every, like, that's a weird one, right?
Yeah.
That's one where I could see some scenarios where people would, depending on your employer, where people would use that, abuse it. Like, where does it, you'd have to give me an example. How are people abusing this?
Right. What's the line?
If you're taking the full amount of time off, you know, after you have a kid. Are you claiming abuse of that? I don't think so. That's yours to use. Like,
what's
all right, if you have an injury that you could have come back maybe a month earlier and you're still using it, maybe that is. But also, how many people can afford to do this?
Yeah.
You know, in many cases, it's half. Now, a lot of employers will make up the other half, and then you could see. I know other people who have never taken FMLA because you can't afford to because you're not getting your full pay.
Right.
So they won't abuse it. They won't even use it.
Yeah.
Because of what the situation is.
A lot of millennials are in that boat. I know a lot of people who didn't take any other time or maybe took just a couple
of
days.
And I know people who have taken every single second
of
it.
And you know what? They're both in their right to do.
Yeah. Hey, you can do it. We go somebody else. I had a specialty job at work. I would give my sergeant a heads up when I was feeling sick for the next day so they could replace me in my special job. I mean, that's pretty good. Yeah. You know, hey, not going to be here tomorrow. Feeling a little sick.
Yeah.
Start thinking about it now. I like the other one, though. A person I know wears a costume to the Bills game so the bosses won't see them after calling in sick.
Oh, very nice.
That's pretty good.
You want to risk it.
The leftover face paint on Tuesday morning might give them away.
You just spend all Monday
just cleaning soaking. In the shower. Yeah. You got to.
By the way, someone calling me out for being a good team player. Thank you very much on last Friday doing a segment from the road.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sorry, last Thursday doing a segment from the road. It was my pleasure. I just hope too many people didn't turn the radio off thinking that that was going to be the whole show.
Yeah. I definitely didn't do that in the newsroom, Joe. 8030930, B-Maz and Beamer. We'll be back after this. It's Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a pretty nice day out there today.
Yeah, hopefully taking some time to enjoy it, even if it's just on your lunch break. Did you see this text that just came in? They called in yesterday, went for a walk, and ended up getting engaged. Well, how did the person who was playing in the engagement know that the other person was going to go along with them and ask off?
Maybe they weren't planning it.
It's very nice. It's like that Billy Ray Cyrus song.
Spur of the moment.
Just walked around.
Achy, breaky heart.
No, the other one could have been me, where he walked around with that.
I don't think there was another one.
Oh, no, there is. And he walked around with this ring in his jacket, but he never found the moment. And now the ring has lost its shine, like my eyes when you were mine. I think that's the line. I might have screwed the line up. But the ring has lost its shine. I know how it feels when I... Yeah, something. I forgot the words. But, yeah. So maybe that's what it was like.
Well, if you're still with us... we were talking about this earlier this morning. In New Zealand, the Dunedin Airport, you're going to have to speed things up when saying goodbye. The airport has put up signs warning people of their new policy, limiting farewells to just 3 minutes. The time limit put in place to keep traffic moving smoothly, give the next passenger time to unload their baggage and say goodbye to their loved ones.
This is about people dropping off, having a hug, having a farewell and moving on. And we really want to create space for others to be able to do the same. This is about safety and reducing congestion during our peak times.
Hang on, I got to hear this one more time. Did you say having a hug and having a feel?
This is about people dropping off, having a hug, having a farewell and moving on. And we really want to create space for others to be able to do the same. This is about safety and reducing congestion during our peak times.
All right. I was going to say, you know, 3 minutes is a little long, but if you're having a feel, 3 minutes not that long at all.
No. And a hug?
Yeah. That's the airport CEO, Dan DeBono, who says that visitors might be asked to move their longer goodbyes to the parking lot. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I think it's fine. Like I have dropped people off at the airport. I don't think a goodbye has ever gone over 3 minutes. And you know, if it's someone who's in from out of town, you haven't seen them in a while, and you know, have the goodbyes at home. You know, start verbalizing the goodbye as you're pulling up to the airport. I do that a lot. Like, hey, I hope you have a great time. It was really good seeing you. You know, and then you get out, you have the hug, you're in the car, you're gone. Because you might think it's rude for you to be rushed along, but if you're one of the cars looking for a place to slide in and drop your passenger off, you want that person to go to go under the 3 minutes.
So in this case, like 3 minutes does not sound like a long time. It is a long time.
Yes.
Like you're saying goodbye, you're dropping someone off. Like picture the airport. You drop somebody off at the airport. 3 minutes is a long time to be hanging around the car, yeah, giving hugs and saying goodbye. Even though I do kind of, like, I wanted to come into this sympathizing with the people who were saying goodbye.
Yeah, you wanted the 20-minute goodbye at the airport.
It could be an emotional goodbye. Like, it doesn't have, like, 20 minutes. Like, I'm just picturing, like, you give people a hug, hard to say goodbye. You know, all right, we'll see you next time. But even as I'm playing that out in my head, rarely do you get to 3 minutes.
Right.
Like, anything longer than 3 minutes is not a goodbye. That's a conversation.
Yeah. I mean, if it's someone that came and visited you and you're dropping them off at the airport, by the way, you're a great guest. Number two, like, you've caught up. It's not like the airport time is the catch-up time. Usually the people I'm taking to the airport are, like, you know, people who live here. And I'm, hey, all right, we'll see you. See you when you get back. You know what I mean? Like, my wife doesn't need more than 3 minutes to say, goodbye, see ya, have fun on your flight.
You're out of here. But how long does a goodbye last? 803-0930. You can let us know on our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board or by giving us a call, 803-0930. Somebody chimed in. I think he means having your feelings. I don't know. Is that no. Give this one a listen once again.
This is about people dropping off, having a hug, having a farewell and moving on. And we really want to create space for others to be able to do the same. This is about safety and reducing congestion during our peak times.
Now, look, I know there's an accent there. They're from a different country and a different hemisphere.
He said having a feel.
You know, they do speak English. He said having a hug and having a feel.
Yeah.
I don't think that means sharing your feelings. I think that means having a feel.
That's how I'm taking it.
If they're doing that at the New Zealand airport, yeah, they got to move things along. That's what the parking lot's for.
Yeah, yeah, the proper goodbye.
At the bathroom, in the, you know, the before you go through security. I don't know exactly how TSA works over in New Zealand. I'm assuming it's the same thing. You can't go through security without a ticket, but what do I know? I've never flown to New Zealand.
Someone is right about the school bus pickup and drop off. Like, yeah, get your kid. Let's go. We don't need a speech while they're going up the stairs.
Where's that?
On the text board. Need a rule like that for local school bus pickup and drop off.
I
more the drop, you know, that All right, have a good day, Jimmy. We'll see you. We'll
Do you see? I feel like I never see that.
Oh.
I like that's a first day thing. And on the first day, I think that's fine.
First day, obviously. But I see it when I'm in later in the day and I'm coming here around, you know, 8, 8:30. Oh, yeah. I see it more often than I'd like to admit.
How old?
I mean, we're talking elementary school kids. It's, you know, it's not their high schooler getting on the bus. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I run through the same thing every day when I pick my son up from school. And that's like, because there's a lot of cars in the line.
Yep.
You have limited space. It is kind of like the airport. You wait in the line, and then you pull up into a spot. You kind of cram your car in there. You try and pick a spot somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, my son's still in the car seat. He runs up, gives me a big hug, and then we get in the car. And sometimes he'll, like, you know, be looking around like, hey, you bring a snack for me? Like, you know, hunting around the car. I'm like, get in. Like, we got to go here. Like, there's a line. We got to keep it moving. We have to do our part to keep this moving. Like, let's go.
That's understandable, though. You're still talking about putting your kid in a car seat. I'm talking about the kids that aren't in a car seat. And the parents are coming out, giving them a hug in front of the school and, you know, chatting. Like, let them in the car. You don't need to pick them up. They're not in a car seat. They're just getting in the car. Let them get in the seat and let's go.
Somebody chiming in, I drive a school bus. Sometimes parents need to address something that's happening on the bus. It's important they get to talk about it no matter what's happening. Yeah.
Okay.
That's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
But you say you think something else is going on. You think it's just parent to kid.
I think it's a long goodbye from the parents. I'm sure not every incident is what the school bus driver is talking about. Sometimes it's just like, you know, yelling the, don't forget, I'll be there at the school at 2:30, blah, blah, blah.
You can kind of do that. Aside from the first day I ever got on the bus, I don't remember any like long goodbye on the bus.
As a kid, as someone who did not take the school bus after second grade, maybe this is just something I should just stay away from. I don't know. I'm just talking about...
You don't have a lot of bus experience. Jeez.
No, field trips and lacrosse away games.
It's not the same.
No. No. After we moved here, I lived right by the school.
You walked to school?
I walked to school from sixth grade
on. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
My parents dropped us off fourth and fifth grade, and then sixth grade, yeah, school. You can hear the bell from my parents' house.
I never remember anybody... I don't think... All my years, pick up or drop off, I ever remember a parent bus driver conversation. But then again, I mean, now it's a lot different. We weren't dropped off door to door.
No, you're at a specific spot.
You were at the spots inside, you know, the whole complex.
Yep.
Like that was, all right, this is your area. See ya.
When I took the school bus in Hornell, there was a bus stop, and it was down the street, and all the kids would line up there, and that's where you would get the bus, and that's where the bus would drop you off after the day.
I don't know. I was always fascinated by this. I should have asked, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
How did, like, this become the bus stop?
It's a great question.
Like, there's no signage. There's no anything. Like, it was just, there was a tree in like our area of like apartments and stuff where
that's where the bus driver goes.
It was just where people gathered, and it's okay, that's where you're being picked up. And further down there was another like tree area like that. It's where other kids waited.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, how did that become the thing?
On Mill Street, it was just the one tree. It was just one tree, two houses down, and that's where everyone would line up. Now, again, I'm out Vernon. I don't remember taking the bus after when we moved here. Like I said, my parents would take us to school, and then I'd walk because no excuse not to walk to two blocks.
Somebody's saying, my dad used to work in Niagara Falls carpool, would get upset at guys. He just rode 25 minutes in a car, and they'd get out and wanted to stand there and open the door and talk, get out and go. I feel that way about a lot of things. What about leaving the family party? How's the goodbye?
I mean, if you can, here's what I like to do. If we're talking to a lot of people and, you know, you've probably only spoken to a certain number of people, not everyone. Hey, we're getting out of here. Just wanted to say goodbye. That's what you do. And then you just slowly maneuver out. You say goodbye to like one or two people, right? Hey, we just want to get out of here. We'll see you later. You know, you're gone.
Yeah.
Before other people can tell that you're leaving.
How often does that happen for you?
Doesn't happen much at all.
Yeah.
Not much at all. Cannot get out. And then it's the, you know, this, and then someone, like, you said it perfectly. Someone wants to tell you a story. It's like, I've been standing here for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You could have come and searched me out and told me, oh, you know what you and Brian should talk about? You had 3 hours to tell me. Text it to me. I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
That is the one part that I don't. So now I'm like in between here because we leave somewhere and I think it's teaching politeness. Like I make our kids go say goodbye. Like go give a hug, go say goodbye to her. Like that's the polite thing to do. You're talking to these people, go say goodbye. And so we'll wait around for that. When it's a conversation between like me and somebody else, like if we're leaving and then someone's like, oh, hey, and this and that and that. That's when it turns into the, like, this was a conversation for a couple hours ago.
Yep.
We're leaving.
That's why
we got to go.
I think the goal is you say goodbye to the hosts, right? If you're at a party that, you know, is a host, you say goodbye to them. You see, if it was a bigger party, you say goodbye to the people you're talking to, right? And then you sneak out. You're out.
I like to say, I mean, you do the wave goodbye as you're walking out the door.
Yeah, I like that.
Hey, see ya.
Brian.
Have a good one. We'll see you later.
Yep.
Gotta leave. All right. You have to keep a distance. If you get too close to somebody physically,
yeah,
that's like an invitation to open the discussion. You're kept distant a little bit. It's like, all right, you know, see, oh, that person's all the way over there. I can't talk to him.
Exactly.
he's leaving. He's way over.
That's why I liked the holiday party last year. You know, I looked at my watch. Yeah, it's time to leave. And I just walked right out. No goodbyes.
Well, who are you saying goodbye to here?
Exactly. That's I like.
No,
I
think offense, but
every party should be like that. Like, don't expect me to say goodbye.
Yeah. You drop in, you drop out.
That I wish everything was like that, is what I'm saying. I wish everything was.
Why isn't?
Some people expect you to approach them.
Well, what's the like gathering limit to where you're not like giving individual goodbyes?
What's the number? That's a great question.
10.
You got to say goodbye to everybody.
At 10?
Yes. 10 all in the same room? Yes.
Same house.
Okay, same house.
I don't know if you're fitting 10 people in the same room.
Depends where you are. 10 in the same room, you got to say goodbye to everybody. 10 is a...
10's a lot. I was going to say, like, anything over 10. Like, if you're in double digits...
Yeah, over 10.
You don't have to say goodbye to each and every person.
Yeah.
We're not shaking 10 hands. We're not running for office. Like, you know, you can kind of get out of there. Single digits, then it's kind of like, you know, you were in a more intimate gathering, you know, the goodbye thing, and that's when it takes a little longer.
Or you just say, hey, I got to go to the bathroom, and then you disappear.
You don't do that.
No. But
have you done that before?
I've done that in a small gathering setting, yes.
I don't, like, isn't
We're talking years ago.
Yeah, but, like, isn't that weird? Like, why lie? Like, why do we feel the need to lie about it?
So, can I just be honest? There was a point in my life where it was the goodbyes were uncomfortable. It's like, oh, now we got to say goodbye. I don't know. I've matured socially as the older I've gotten, but there was a time in my life where hello and goodbyes were awkward.
Hmm.
I know.
I think that's interesting.
I'm over it now.
Yeah. But, like, even if they were awkward, like, you don't have to make up, like, oh, I'm going to the bathroom, and then, oh, you never, did Joe fall in? Yeah. Like,
actually, now that I think about it, it's more awkward the next time you see those people.
I was going to say, yeah. Like, hey, you went to the bathroom, never, you okay? She go, we called the hospital, and they said they had no record. What was going on? Slipping out is not, you know, you're not saying goodbye, but, like, I don't think you need to give, like, a fake reason or anything.
No, that puts too much, you know, looking back on it, that puts too much focus on it. If you just sneak out.
Have you ever been mad at, because I know the answer for us, but I wonder, you know, for people out there who are texting or calling into the show, have you ever been mad at somebody for leaving and not saying goodbye?
No.
I can't think of a time.
No. Would not care. I know people that would bother. Like, I can think of someone off the top of my head that it would bother if something didn't say goodbye
you can?
To them. Oh, yeah.
Again, like, I think it depends on if you're in a single-digit gathering or, like, a small gathering of all, or you are with, you know, people you're not going to see again for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, like this, you're not dropping them off at the airport, but you know somebody is tomorrow, and it's going to be a while. Like, that's a little, you want to say goodbye to those people. But aside from that, I don't think most people are bothered. Like, oh, they didn't say goodbye? Yeah. How they're off the list next year.
I see you guys every day, and I barely say goodbye when I leave.
Yeah, isn't that, like, I give a wave as I leave, you know, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Is anyone here bothered that I don't say goodbye?
No. It's probably better.
This is a social setting.
Yeah. Irish goodbye work.
Yeah. Like
I think
if you have kids, it should be more understandable why you want to get out quickly. Like if you're at a function with kids, people there should understand, okay, they want to get out.
Yeah.
You know, I would hope.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
I almost had Irish goodbye the library last night. So I,
yeah.
You know, bringing both kids around and it's like, all right, you know, time to get out of here.
My son in the library, he is a fan of every book. If you let him just walk by the shelf, it will end up on the floor. So he points and I'll take one. That's the one we're reading tonight, buddy.
in his room or his library?
No, I'm talking about in the library. He will just go, if I let him just walk around in the kids section, he will just take books out and put them on the floor.
Oh,
if I let him point, okay, that's the one you want.
I got my youngest now. I think he knows, like, you know, we don't touch the books in the shelf, but there was, like, last night, for example, you try and, hey, you want to, now, my oldest, they don't have to really worry about. He's got, you know, he's either doing the computer puzzle or, you know, reading something or doing, you know, whatever. He's got it all under control. You sit down, hey, you want to read this book? Open up one page. Nope. You know, out of your lap, wants to do something else. So you want to play with the toy? Okay, for 2 seconds. Yep. Wants to do color? Okay, nope, do something else. And it's just like that on a loop constantly. I'm like, eventually, let's wrap it up. We got to get going here.
That's my son in public never wants to. He doesn't want anyone holding him. He doesn't want to be like Boo at the Zoo was him just running all around the place. But at home, he'll pick up a book. He'll go put himself in his little tent. And I think he's read through more books than I have, and he's only 17 months.
So two?
That's all it takes.
Hungry Caterpillar and Goodnight Moon?
Can you believe that?
Both of them in the same time? That's, you know, when I'm reading, my oldest never did this. My youngest does. When we're reading, like, on the couch or somewhere, or, I take out a book, he has to sit on you. Like, there's no sitting next to. Mm. And it's not sitting on your lap. Like, he tries to sit on my face.
Interesting.
Like, or, like, on my shoulder. And I go, like, no.
This, how am I supposed to read?
This isn't going to work out. Yeah. Like, you got to give me some space here. And then eventually, we figure it out. But, like, it's a, he wants to tackle you with the book.
Yeah, my son now, he doesn't want me holding the book. Like, all right, you can pretend to read through it then. Like, because he wants to move the pages before I'm done reading it. And yeah.
He's, oh, I don't allow it.
Yeah.
If that's a book, like, come on. This is how you read a book. Yeah. We're not doing it. I'm sick of this. You want to pick up your own book and go over there? That's fine. If we're reading here.
We're reading for real.
We're reading the book.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're going to listen to this book. You know what's coming next. It's the Wild Rumpus. It starts. And then they dance for 3 pages. Come on. We're reading it. All right. We'll
You're part of the Frozen Frenzy tonight. You're going to the action.
You scared me for a second. Like, what did I agree to that I have no idea what's going on?
All 32 teams playing, staggered start times, and you'll be at the Sabres game, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'll see one game.
I was trying to make it more, I was trying to pump up the game, you know? Sabres-Dallas tonight. Lindy against his old team. He's 0-2 against former teams so far this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. He did coach the Stars.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
It is.
You know, lost to the Stars here, then goes to coach him.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, anyways, hope to get a win downtown.
Hope to get a construction update from you tomorrow.
Joe, I was just about to say, win or lose, I might not talk much about the game. You know I'll be giving you an update to the cobblestone buildings and the state of the street tomorrow morning as we're back here.
That's what I'm looking for. We'll be looking forward to that. David's next after Lucas here on WBEN.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.